Hello and welcome
to this episode of Pints and Pairings.
There's a disembodied voice coming from somewhere. To this episode of Pints and Pairings, certainly. That is Jason Hendrick. He is also known as the Hungry Man from everybodyshungry.org.
And this is my co-host, Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Said.
With a fuzzy microphone. Something was blowing off my microphone. There we go. Caught my eye. Sorry, it was distracting me. You know what? This show is made possible in part by our fabulous sponsor, The Beer Cave, located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. That is in Camarillo, California, right off the freeway, the 101 freeway, by the way. Not just 101. No, it is the 101 freeway. Pull off, get some beer, get back on the freeway, go home. Great place. Mo and Samuel take care of you. If you get in there and you see a beer that, or you have a beer in mind and you don't see it there, ask them for it.
Yeah, they can help you out.
They'll get it for you. And also, We're Driving. We're Driving is a personal driving service. Whether you need to, you just had eye surgery, you need to go to the grocery store, your grandmother needs to go to a doctor's appointment, or in our case, we use it as our designated driver, getting us home from events like this.
Whenever you threw in the eye surgery. Because in respect, I won't be able to see tonight if we keep going at the rate we're going.
Well, that's leading up to a powerful meltdown show.
Yes, my friend. It is, my friends.
But before we get to the meltdown show, we are enjoying, we're heading right into Saison, and I should have pulled up BJCP categories to know exactly what number it is. However, this is the Saison. It's like the French and Belgian ales.
Yeah, they're there. It's number 16, and the Saisons are at 16C.
And
go to BJCP.org. You want to find all the styles.
So we're drinking Matt's Burning Roses. It's a beer brewed by Stone Brewing. And the thing about this beer is
it's a great memoriam beer.
Yeah. So there's a couple things going on with this beer. One, it's an imperial, which you don't hear of very often with Saisons. This thing's coming in at 10%, 10.5%. So it is a big beer. Also, it's would classify as a smoked beer because it was brewed with malt that was smoked with cherry wood smoked Saison.
And it comes out great in the nose. We're going to get into more of the characteristics here in a second. But again, as I mentioned, it's also a memoriam beer. The Stone family lost a member of their group in Matt Courtwright, and they really wanted to show their appreciation for him as part of their team and what he brought to the brewery. So this is to him, and I think they've done a really awesome job. I haven't tasted it yet, but just in the nose, in terms of quality, Stone is always known for the quality. The aroma stands up nicely, and I think if nothing else, if you didn't get past the aroma and Matt had a chance to smell this beer, he'd be honored.
Well, and the one thing that I really, you know, Stone always puts a novella here on the backside of their bottles, and but generally they're just fun to read because they're so full of themselves, and that is all of the fun.
Yeah, ethos of Stone Brewery has to do with a certain level of arrogance and confidence and pride in what they do. So I think that's really what you're speaking about. But this novella, this breakdown on the back of the bottle is a little different.
It was about Matt, who was one of their brewers. But one of the things that he was this happy-go-lucky guy and was always smiling and always had a laugh and made everyone around him feel great. And that's why they're brewing a beer, you know, in his memory. But here on the backside, you know, and it just says the last paragraph, enjoy and please remember that life and those we hold dear are precious gifts and to be cherished every day. Consider sharing this beer, conversation of life's passions, and again, lots of laughter with good friends as we remember ours. So that is what is so great about beer and has been for a millennia, is that it has always been it has always brought people together, and just good laughter and good times and good friends, and especially a conversation lubricant, which it is for this show.
Yeah, if you've followed us all night, you may be listening to this as a podcast and as a replay, but if you're listening live right now and you followed us through, we're on our fifth segment.
Yep.
If I count through the bottles of our core segments plus the pre-show, we're on our fifth segment, which means five beers. And all of them have been over 6%. Mm-hmm. Most of them have been in the 8, 9, or 10 range. But all been delicious in different respects. This one is no different. Again, my first time trying this beer, I didn't go out and buy it up when they first released it, but I'm glad that you have a bottle. The cherry wood and the smoked component, I'm growing more and more a fan of smoked beers. I've had a great smoked saison from Santa Darius up north in Northern California, and the cherry wood smoked saison here, it lends a certain campfire feel, but a saltiness too. I love smoked salts, and I think the way they've been able to brew and meld this beer nicely gives me that feeling of a smoked saltiness. The cherry wood, though, is like a really cool cherry liqueur. There's enough heat and alcohol burn in the, you know, with the 10% of this beer in the back of the throat, but that cherry wood really kind of ballets with that heat in a way that reminds me of a cherry liqueur.
I thought I was going crazy. I thought, how am I getting a cherry flavor from a smoked wood?
No, it's delicious.
It's something that I just figured it was going to be full of smoke. And obviously I'm not that big of an idiot to realize that different woods are going to have a different flavor of smoke, just like different salts are going to taste differently and different beer styles are going to taste different. But I didn't realize I was going to get that kind of flavor off.
Minus the sugary sweetness, and I've been using that phrase ad nauseum tonight based on the styles of beers we've been profiling, but minus that fruity, like sucrose or just base sugar, the fruit sugar, there's still the essence of cherry.
Right.
You know, you don't need to bite into a cherry and get all its great maraschino juice, of a marinated style cherry to know that that's the fruit being reflected.
Well, one of the things, so I've got a couple beer styles that are my favorite, and I mean, IPA is certainly one of them, all variations of it. The other one, so, you know, on my house beers, I always have an IPA, and generally it's a double, and a lot of times it has rye in it. So you just kind of know that about me. But the other, one of my other taps almost always has a saison in it. And I've loved saisons from the first time I had one, which was actually more of a, it's more classified as a farmhouse ale, which was Omegon Hennepin. And that just led me right into the Saison DuPont and these Belgian or these farmhouse and Saisons right out of Belgium. The reason being, I think, between those, that the commonality between the two is generally a crispness. Now, the IPAs are going to be a bitter crisp, but then in the Saisons, we're talking this barnyard, herbaceous kind of
crisp. And grassy. And I think the crispness you're reflecting or talking about is about the way it slices through other flavors, other aromas, and cleanses the palate. It kind of washes away other remnants of flavors, whether you just ate or, you know, brush your teeth or something. It's still going to cut through. Mm-hmm. This one actually deviates from that.
It does.
And it reminds me of a cool, clear sky evening. Like, you've been over to our place, and we've got access to the rooftop of our apartment building overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And I'm not trying to be boastful, but
yeah, you are.
On a cool evening with a clear sky and a little moonlight reflecting off the water looking out the islands, I want this beer, in absence of being able to create a fire on my rooftop, I want this beer at my side, because it creates a warming effect. It's a calming and comforting display that I think is really pleasing. I like this beer. As you mentioned in the beginning, the smokiness can be intimidating. If you just read cherrywood smoked on the label and you're averse to any kind of smoke, or it's just too astringent and too bacony for you, you may not pick this beer up, and I would caution you to walk away. You know, make sure to give it a second look. This beer is an amazing collaboration of ingredients.
Yeah, and it's not, it's it's over the top probably in every single aspect, but together all of them make a balanced beer. And you know, I can see how somebody going looking at this as a beer from Stone would be kind of nervous. I was fairly nervous about it as well. But one of the things I wanted, you know, I was talking about how Saisons are my favorite beers and one of my favorite beer styles. This one, if you dig underneath the cherry flavor, the Saison components are still there.
There's a little wetness, a little dankness.
The characteristics are there. It's more of a horse blanket as opposed to maybe the herbaceous sort of grassy flavors, but it's still there, and it helps to balance the beer, and there's still a sweetness in my mouth, but it's being balanced by the leftover Saison or the Saison components that are trying to cleanse my palate too.
And a lot of times when we talk about food pairings, we want to try to either really resonate the tones in the beer or to totally kind of contradict the tones, the notes, and the flavor mm-hmm. profiles. I want, for this one, I think it's a smart play to resonate the and to complement the flavor aspects that are rearing their heads in this beer. And I could see this with a really cool grilled romaine salad. And you take a big head of romaine, you chop off the stem, you cut it in half, lay those leaves down on the grill, char some black marks onto it, and then do a gorgonzola or a blue cheese vinaigrette with some fresh, tangy, acidic tomatoes, and you're bringing out that campfire-y, you know, kind of charred aspect of the beer with the charred grilled marks of the romaine, maybe even some radicchio for a little bitterness. But that gorgonzola or the blue cheese vinaigrette should add just enough creamy tart sweetness to subdue some of the smokiness, especially with the acidic tomatoes.
Yep. every once in a while I got sidetracked through that, and it sparked a couple of different things as well. But before I lose track of my gem, maybe
for this evening, your own pairing,
my own gem, my gem for this evening was this as a pairing. I want to pair this with a glazed donut. Okay, so now stick with me on this one.
Traditional glazed donut.
Right, but what
yeast style or cake style?
Yeast.
Okay.
But what I want to do, but the thought behind this is like a Bismarck. So whether it's with a cherry filling or with the lemon filling,
okay,
whatever. But I don't want the filling. I want this to be the filling. The beer to be the filling.
You notice I'm scooting my chair closer to the mic because I want to get in on this conversation. We feed off each other, especially after a couple of beers. We feed off each other very well. I was with you on the glazed donut. I was on board with the Bismarck, and then you blew me away because my mind was going tart sour, and you threw the lemon filling, the curd, and I was like, oh my God, yeah, we're in tune. We're in sync.
Well, we may not be in sync. Let me clarify, because I don't want the fillings, but
aspect that I actually do want the filling, but I understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
That teaser, that little mm-hmm. bit of sourness, that reflective fruitiness that you're trying to convey is in the beer.
Right.
For me, I do want the filling though, because I think it could kind of hold the bit of smokiness mm-hmm. and the saison and the sweetness mm-hmm. that's in the beer at bay a little bit.
Okay.
You know, very similar to when we had your launch party with your homebrew however long ago, and we did that black ale, right, black IPA, if you will, right, but black ale with those cookies that had the lavender and the lemon zest and a little bit of sour glaze.
Right.
That's where my mind went while you're talking about lemon filling. Mm-hmm. And I totally can respect and appreciate the fact that you don't want the filling, but you want that component. Right. You want that essence.
And for me, the beer is the essence of the lemon Bismarck, the lemon filling. And I think I can remember the very first time I had beer and donuts. All right, so it's the homecoming of the university that I went to school, I graduated from.
And you guys celebrated with beer and donuts?
Well, yeah, and so we had beer and donuts, and it was really bad beer. It was Miller Lite probably, you know. But those two, I couldn't believe how well Miller Lite and a glazed donut went together. And since then,
Homer donuts, Simpson on it.
I know, and since then, donuts and beer, and it only gets better with craft beer too. The better made... I've just burned every bridge with every macro brewery. Now, we'll never get a Miller Lite sponsor.
We were never targeting them anyway.
Well, that's true. But it just keeps getting better with, you know, gourmet donuts and craft beer, or even just craft beer in a six-pack. We're lucky to have some really great donut shops around us, and so we can get some really great donuts. So the sweet component of this beer, because there's at 10.5%, there is a considerable amount of sweetness in this beer.
Yeah, and it has to have that in order to maintain that high percentage, as well as to offset some of the hops they're using in the saison.
Well, the herbal, the saisoniness and the smokiness, I think would be just a fabulous complement to a glazed donut. And then you've got the cleansing kind of tart flavors that you crave when you bite into a lemon Bismarck. You want that kind of break from all that mouth-coating glazed sweetness.
I'm with you. I totally agree. I'm going to take you a different direction. Because there's enough savoriness and enough smoky, almost bacony kind of direction in this beer, I want to go to like a basic glazed duck, like a real simple Peking style duck with a crispy skin. You're going to get some richness out of that fat. You're going to get the gaminess. You're going to get a pungency of the bird. So I think you can go that way. And also with maybe like a really awesome garlic grilled bok choy.
Mm.
Or shifting away, what if we had a really awesome dry aged Carpaccio, like a really concentrated, just raw, thinly sliced, minerally irony beef with a little bit of lemon zest and maybe some dill or a little parsley.
Yeah, now is Carpaccio, is that a cured meat?
No, Carpaccio is basically the preparation. So you're taking a raw beef or a raw duck or anything. Carpaccio is going to be very thinly sliced, almost paper thin slivers of that protein.
And do you eat it raw?
You do eat it
okay.
raw.
Okay. So then
you can do scallop carpaccio. You can do pretty much anything carpaccio style. You can actually do vegetables carpaccio style, but it's thinly sliced. Sometimes they use a light vinaigrette in order to enhance the flavors a little bit, but you can do real basic dry-aged beef and have an amazing carpaccio dish. A little bit of maybe even boiled egg, like a crumbled boiled egg on top, just for a little richness.
Well, I like that. I also like that was kind of because I thought you were talking about like a cured meat, and so even like a prosciutto, just a really thin sliced prosciutto.
Or a speck with a little extra fat in it.
So here, one of my favorite all-time appetizers is a melon ball, and there's it's one of the G's. It's like a honeydew, but it is whatever the name is, and it's totally blown out of my head. But you have a melon ball, you wrap it in prosciutto, and then you stick a rosemary sprig through it.
Sure.
Okay, so that's like the perfect. You have the sweet, you have the salty, you have the rosemary herbaceous kind of all these flavors working together. This is that it reminds me a lot of this beer. We've got the smoke and we've got the sweet. So the smokiness I'm equating to the meat, and then we've got the sweet, which is kind of is the melon, and then we've got the herbaceousness of the farmyard, which would be the rosemary sprig. I think that those that combination would work really
sure.
well with
and
it.
And spinning in that same theme, you could go with a great caprese salad, something very simplistic with some fresh beefsteak tomatoes or heirloom tomatoes sliced mm-hmm. at a good thickness with some fresh buffalo mozzarella, some basil, a little bit of olive oil, and a great aged balsamic vinaigrette or balsamic vinegar drizzled over the top. And for the exact same reasons why your melon balm and prosciutto works, that the freshness and the acidity and the creaminess of that caprese salad would pair just as nicely.
I think maybe even olives, like just
some briny, salty, tart
right.
olives.
And so this, and so that's kind of where I was looking. So you said the carpaccio,
is carpaccio,
right? Carpaccio, and then so I was thinking dried and salted cured meats, which of course pastrami is the sexiest of the Anyway, so we go from there. So we've got that. But then I was also thinking, because it's a saison in Belgium, and then it reminds me of mussels and the brininess of that as well. And so I think a salt component would really help. And then that just kind of led into the olives too, as maybe the alternative, the vegetarian alternative to kind of pop some of these flavors as
right.
well.
That, just to use a pun, that's a mouthful. We've gone through a lot of different opportunities and some really creative directions with our food tonight.
Well, take this one, for example. I mean, we were just talking about jelly donuts a minute ago.
Yeah, and now we're into to high-quality olives and mussels.
Right. Well, so if you've got a suggestion as you're sitting there listening to us, wherever you are in your car, you can use the hashtag #PintsAndPairings or hashtag #BeerSuggestioneers. Join in the conversation. You can leave a comment on the iTunes, the YouTube. You can go to everybodyshungry.org or hopitsed.com and find us there and leave a comment.
All the major platforms with those hashtags. And again, iTunes, we're going to get all the great notifications of the podcast once they're uploaded. So go there, rate us, subscribe. But if you want to find anything about Pints and Pairings, you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Hopitsed actually has an Instagram account now.
I do. And I use it.
You're using it. Yes, you are. So we appreciate everyone listening. We're going to take a few minutes break, and then we're going to get back into another segment. It'll be our wonderful, we haven't even talked about through the last four segments the theme of tonight's series of podcasts and shows, the rib, joining in the rib episodes. Right. Which is reduction in bottles.
Right.
And that's really us cleaning out Curtis's fridge. And we should have talked about it in the past few episodes, but we didn't.
I think that's a great meltdown topic. And because we've got four bottles here that are in various stages of emptiness.
And if you look at it, you actually went in order of height as well, which I'm really in opposition to, because anytime things happen in height, I'm in the front of the picture. I'm at the front of the line as the short guy. But you've worked it in so that the bottles are ascending in height, ascending in percentage,
you can tell that in a previous life I was a teacher and that I understand those things, and I just naturally
do. You definitely adhere to progression, my friend.
All right, then let's call it quits. One thing I have not said at all this evening is, we want to remind everyone to eat, drink, and be happy. Of course.
Why wouldn't you?
Right, I know. And then also, be responsible, get home safe and all that good stuff. I say it kind of flippantly, but seriously, if you're going to drink, find somebody to get you home. That's the important and the responsible thing to do. And, what do we do from here?
We're your beer suggestioneers. Use that hashtag, and we'll see you the next pour.
Thanks for bailing me out, Jason.
You got it. Cheers.